This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. They Might Be Giants is headed to Milwaukee this week for shows this Friday and Saturday at the Pabst Theater. The legendary duo has been performing together for more than 40 years and have been considered a vital part of the DIY music scene since their founding in 1982. Ahead of their show in Milwaukee, we're chatting with one half of the group, John Flansburgh. John, thank you so much for being here on Lake Effect.
Nice.
I'm not sure if you're going to remember this, but your song, Dr. Worm, was featured on a show called Kablam in about 2000, where it promptly got lodged in my brain. So I would sing it on and off around my house for years. And finally, one day I was talking to my mom and I said, oh, yeah, you know, I love They Might Be Giants. They're a great band. And my family was very confused and they informed me they thought I had written that song.
Oh.
And they had been very impressed by me for years. So you helped me disappoint my parents when I was a teenager.
Well, we've been disappointing parents for a very long time. That's adorable. What a sweet story. It's too bad. It's really too bad that your cover got blown. Yeah, no, I remember doing stuff with Kablam. I remember those conversations. We did work for hire for them. We actually did some incidental music, and that was actually some of the very first stuff we did for outside clients. And soon we were working in advertising and doing stuff for network TV and getting bossed around by all sorts of people. So in a way, I sort of think of that time myself as this big sort of moment of change for us.
I actually want to get back to that in just a minute, but I'd like to ask kind of about the roots of They Might Be Giants. I know the name is a kind of roundabout reference to Don Quixote, which is considered to be the first modern novel. They Might Be Giants is one of the earliest bands that comes to my mind when I think of like the early DIY scene. What was that like starting out in DIY back in the 80s?
Oh, well, it's an interesting distinction to talk about DIY, which sort of grew into what we now call alternative rock. And musically, a lot of the bands that were coming out of college towns and big cities in the 80s, they didn't necessarily have that much to do with one another musically. It was really where they played. So it was really defined by the venue. Naming your band is like the first thing you do. Like you don't really have much idea of like how it's going to work. It's the name of a movie. We need to name ourselves after a movie. And the actual reference to Don Quixote was something I've never sort of ashamed to say I never read Don Quixote. So I don't really know what the full reference means within the book. I don't think it's direct, but it was the name of a very strange movie. And that seems interesting enough.
Yeah. It's a reference to, the windmills.
Yes. Yeah.
So starting in the 80s in New York City, what was the scene like?
The scene was very strange. There was a musical movement called No Wave, which was this sort of post-punk way of performing that was very, very screamy. You know, basically their sound was just this blast of dissonant yelling. So we ended up playing in a lot of places that weren't doing that kind of thing. We ended up playing in a lot of clubs that were featuring performance art, and we would be the musical act in the performance art spot, and that seemed to suit us a little bit better. And they were also just in need of acts. There just weren't that many people coming through, so we would play almost every week in these clubs for crowds of 50 or 75 people, and it was just very exciting, but it was a microscopic scene.
They Might Be Giants does have a feeling of performance art. When you look back at the many things that you've done, one that's that pops to mind would be Dial a Song. Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, we played for a couple of years, I guess, or a year or so in New York City, and we had gotten to that crucial point where our friends were no longer coming to the shows, but people who we didn't know were coming to the shows, which is actually kind of an exciting moment. Like you're getting airborne as a band when you have a reputation that's sort of outside of your circle of friends. And right at that moment, I had my apartment broken into and they stole almost everything I owned, except for a tape recorder. and a box of tapes. John Linnell was in a, he was working as a bike messenger and had a bike accident and broke his wrist. So we knew we weren't going to be performing for at least a few months. And I think we were afraid we were going to lose momentum professionally. It was like we had finally achieved something with this band. So we thought, let's do this thing we had talked about just in the abstract, which is buy a phone machine, which was a brand new device. I mean, think about when, you know, the iPhone came into your life. Like having a phone machine was an emerging technology at this moment. So I went to Crazy Eddie and bought a phone machine with an unlimited outgoing message. And we started recording, just making different cassettes and loading them into the machine and advertising it on the back page of the Village Voice, which was like the community bulletin board for like oddball things, you know. And people started calling almost right away. And it was just like another way for people to hear our songs. And it was a great way to sort of initiate people into the music of They Might Be Giants, because you didn't even know what kind of project it was. Like you didn't know what the visual was. You didn't know what anything about it. It was just an experience. So it was a great way for people to find out about us.
Now, kind of with that in mind, you guys have been involved in a lot of things. We talked a little bit about it at the top with Kablam, but I was struck looking through kind of your Wikipedia page and your resume. There are so many interesting turns your careers have collectively taken. Can you talk about some of the most interesting things you've worked on? It's everything from like Blue's Clues to a Dunkin' Donuts campaign.
We worked with Dunkin' Donuts for a couple of years. We actually ended up doing something like 25 TV commercials and probably a couple dozen radio commercials with them. So we did many, many work for hire jobs with them. You know, some of it looks more circuitous on paper, but you know, at a certain point when we got off Elektra, our major label, we were on Elektra for 10 years. And when that deal ended, we were trying to figure out ways of not being on the road quite so much, but we also didn't want to go broke. So we started doing this work for hire stuff right around the year 2000. That led to all sorts of things. Like immediately the phone started ringing when we made ourselves available for this stuff. Some of it was just like being in advertising. You know, we got hired because we could make music. Like our name wasn't going to be on it. We weren't going to be professionally associated with it any more than just the music we were making. So we did music for news programs, for the ABC network. We did stuff for their news division. That was one of the big early jobs we had. And they were just kind of making fake John Williams orchestral cues. And I think we did a pretty good job with it. And that was actually what led us to doing all the incidental music for The Daily Show. That was a big break because a lot of people noticed the music and noticed that it was us. And I should say that actually the theme that we did a number of different iterations of, the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, was actually written by Bob Mould from Husker Du, the band from Minneapolis. And, you know, it was a very hard rock and, you know, a really great band. But I think people would be very surprised to hear that it was Bob Mould or us, for that matter. Yeah, we did a lot. We just did a lot of incidental stuff, and it just led to a lot of unusual clients and a lot of unusual opportunities, some of which were very easy to achieve, and some of which were harder work, and some of which never saw the light of day.
Now you are headed to the lovely city of Milwaukee right here. What's your favorite memory of Milwaukee?
Wow. You know, I mean, I have a lot of different memories of Milwaukee, but they're all from early days, and they're all slightly catastrophic. The thing that happened to us in Milwaukee that people still talk about is we did a show at the Majeska Theater in the mid-90s where a bunch of people, probably like 20 people, jumped up on stage and started dancing on the thrust of the stage. There was a bunch of staging that was built over an old orchestra pit, and they were dancing so hard that the staging collapsed And they were sort of sent down like a half story or more, like, you know, 10 feet down into the orchestra pit. And there was a huge cloud of dust. And it just looked like a really strange magic trick, the way they disappeared, because they literally just went poof in a cloud of dust. And we were playing the song, the famous polka. So it was just a very notable and strange event. And then some people got sent to the hospital just to make sure they were okay, but nobody was actually seriously injured at all. So fortunately, I think the statute of limitations has run out, so I can no longer be held liable for any injury. So I'm happy to tell the story again.
So you're the reason the Majeska is closed?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, I felt like we were keeping it open at the time. You know, it was a great venue and it was a great evening. And I'm really glad we actually got to do a whole show there. It was not something that stopped the show even. So, I think for a lot of people, they were just, I actually went to the hospital that night, went to the emergency room to meet the people who had been taken there. And I think their only regret was that they didn't get to see the rest of the show.
John, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect. We are very much looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee.
Well, Joy, thanks for inviting us on. And, tell your family that, you know, you were putting your own spin on that song, that Dr. Worm song. It goes real different if you hear our version.
I will let them know. John Flansburgh is one half of the band They Might Be Giants, which is in Milwaukee this week with shows on Friday and Saturday at the Pabst Theater.